Most famous Who song, you think? Probably. Coach Q is sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. And Coach Q loves the Who. I know it's not your favorite Who song. Is that the most famous Who song, you think?
It's probably in the top 5 or 10, maybe.
Right. What's the most famous Who song?
Good question. Maybe Bob O'Reilly, maybe, I don't know what the favorite one really is.
You ever pay for tickets to a Who concert?
Yes, I have.
Come on, really? I would have thought from your time as a player through any time you want to see them, somebody be falling all over themselves trying to hand you free tickets.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the Who in a while.
All right, well, Pete Townsend's here, but he doesn't want to talk to you about hockey. I told him he can call you off the air. He's not really here, Q. I'm just making it up. Shouldn't be throwing stuff out like that. Listen, the grind continues. What do you learn this time of year? I know you want to look at the younger guys, but what are you learning from these games?
Well, last night we didn't learn much. It was a tough game last night. You want to see some consistency to your game. You want to see, the guy's speed. You want to see how well they handle a puck. You want to see them move together. So it's a all the zones last night were a little chopped up, and but I think it was again. Whether it was a pace to our game or was there the lack of handling the puck or making completed passes or moving together that was disjointed, and that was a tough night in that area.
What about the play of Berube last night? Because it seems like he gave you a chance again in this game.
Yes, he did. Made a couple big saves, kept us in the game. That second period there, we were in there in the majority of the period there, and it was they kept coming at us. I mean, we never had the puck walk long or and did much when we did have it. So we're in our end, and we're defending, and the fact there was a one-goal game to the end was flattering, and we had a chance to tie it up right at the end. But certainly it's not conducive to trying to win hockey games playing like that.
Against Colorado the other night, last night you get Carolina. They're in a tight race to try to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. When you're playing teams that are in these tight playoff races, how much of a challenge is it to try to match their intensity when they've got so much on the line?
Well, everybody, is in the middle of a race here. Somebody's got incentive for the 2 points, and it's almost jockeying to get in the playoff spot, and we're in a different spot. But it's I still think you're pros, and you got to be competitive, and playing the right way is something we talk about a lot. And having fun out there when you do things right and you do things hard, I think you enjoy it.
The fans have sent in several questions today. They're really more off-ice general hockey questions, but I thought they were interesting. I'm going to hit you with a few of those in a second. But when you play a team like Boston, which is, they've had a very strong year, you can come in, you can kind of rough them up a little bit. And, it's not a spoiler roll, obviously, because it's not over yet. But do you game plan these type of games different? I mean, it's a weird position because you haven't been in this position since you've been coaching the Hawks, really.
Well, yeah, always prepare to try to win and do all the things you can to put yourself in that flavor. And we feel that Boston, as good as anybody at any point of the year, the way they're playing now is dangerous in a lot of ways. They play hard. They got a physical team. They're big, and they do a lot of things that we got to be aware of tomorrow. So it's two big games in a row for them, and we want to make sure that we're playing the right way and have fun doing it.
I was in Orlando for a few days, and I was having dinner with a big shot agent type, and he's a really good tennis player. He's 63, maybe 64, played at Pepperdine, D1 school. And I was asking about ratings for tennis, and he's still, at that age, a 5.5 or a 6, Did you ever rate yourself? I know you're a tennis guy, Joel. Did you ever rate yourself as a tennis player? You ever have a number assigned to your game?
No number assigned. I'm an ordinary player.
So that'd be an O?
That guy at 5'5 is a good player.
Yeah, I don't understand the translation. Like a scratch handicap is a zero. You know, you're a 10 or under. It's a really good golfer. So what is a five? Is a five?
I'd be like a 10 to a 10 to a 15 or a 10. 10 to 15.
Okay, so five's a good player. All right, so here's a couple of these fan questions that came in. What's one hockey rule that you really, really, really dislike?
Say that again.
A hockey rule, a rule that you really don't like.
A rule that I dislike. Well, you gotta live with them all. So it's one of those things that can change. From game to game, but I think the way the game is translated over the last little while with the speed of the game, letting the guys have some freedom to move and skate, and I think that's been healthy for the game. And as far as I think I don't want to get into it's not an easy thing when we're talking about the goalie interference or we're talking about goalie or coaches' challenges. I think the evolution is they're handling it well, and we're going along with it, and it's been fine. I think everybody's getting better as we're going along as well.
Can I tell you one I don't like? We went from icing to virtual icing. I would like to see a judgment call based on delay of game. You're in your own end, the puck goes off your stick, you're not trying to knock it out of play. I don't think that should be a 2-minute penalty.
Yeah, well, that's dangerous when you're down one man already, and all of a sudden it's a 2-man disadvantage. It's one of those plays that, whether it's intent or non-intent, I think guys would be very adaptive at being having the ability to get it out of the building without getting a stop at your play. Sometimes when you're tired, when you can make it look like you're instead of icing it.
Related question to that from a different listener. Do you ever run into officials downstairs after a poorly called game, and how awkward is that? That's a funny question.
I've had run-ins in the past with some officials, and I think that's all part of the game. But it's a... I think over the years I mill it out times a different number, and leave it there.
On the ice, who calls the line changes, coaches or players?
Well, the players sometimes can extend shifts, and sometimes, but you like them to go 30, 40 seconds, and we on the bench will call who's up, and everybody has a relative 30, 40 second shifts. Change at the right time. Best if you change together.
Do players really? This is another question. Do players really listen during the timeouts?
They do listen. I mean, we're not always giving orders, between timeouts. But I think sometimes they're talking about what's off a face-off, what they're looking to do, and sometimes you're making awareness to what needs to be done on both sides of a face-off. But on timeouts, depending on what the flavor is coming out of the timeout, whether it's a power play or penalty kill situation, it changes D-zone or offensive zone. There's a lot of different things off the timeout.
I don't remember the rule when you were a player, but did you listen during timeouts?
There's no timeouts.
I didn't think there was. Yeah, when did that rule start?
Good question.
When was that, 90s? I want to say it was the 90s. I'm not sure. And Andrea has a question. She gets frustrated by some goalie play. What's your question for
Coach? I just don't understand how come and this is such a basic elementary question, why does the goalie have to ever leave the goal? So, when the puck goes behind the goal, it just makes me so nervous.
The stress that Andre is put under by the goalie playing the puck.
I want to say, get back. And I know he'll get back in time, but I just want to say, don't move.
Not always.
Yeah, some goalies are very good at handling the puck, and they got the trapezoid now, so you can't go in that area. So you got a limited area where you can go out, and then some goalies are different levels in how well they handle the puck. But it's a great art, and it's a great skill, and it really enhances your defensive zone exits as well.
Best goalie ever to handle the puck? Who'd you like?
I would say Marty Brodeur might be one.
Yep. Isn't he the reason they invented the trapezoid rule? I think he is.
Could have been there. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the education, Coach. I appreciate it. And we'll see you out there Sunday for an early one with the Bruins.
All righty.
All right. All the best, man.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. You too.
That's Coach Q, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint.
NHL players, I don't know if you saw this while you were away, but the NHL Players Association released a survey of more than 500 NHL players. They listed Coach Q as the coach for whom they would most like to play.
Oh.
Not a surprise, really, is it?
Cool.
I can see
Not
that because he's intense.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to win, and he's a proven winner. His second most wins ever.
Right.
And
right.
The only other guy with more wins is in the same office.
Right, correct.
Right, Scotty Bowman.
Yep.
Yeah.